So another possibility would be to try to make a table of constants for some of the common bond potentials, like the Morse potential or the Leonard-Jones potential. So calculating this, a bond potential is a lot of work. You have to fix the position of the two nuclei in the bond, solve the whole problem for the energy with the multi-electron wave functions and the electron-electron interactions, then move the nuclei a little bit and calculate the energy again, and eventually you get energy as a function of position between the two nuclei, and that's the bond potential. But it's a lot of work. And sometimes it's convenient to use an approximation that fits about to that bond potential. So often for a covalent bond, a Morse potential would be used, or for a van der Waals bond, a Leonard-Jones potential could be used. And so what I would like to do is to try to make a table of parameters. For the Morse potential, you could look up dissociation energy, how much energy it takes to take the molecule apart. This is basically how deep the well is in the bond potential, the energy it takes from going from the equilibrium position to separating the very far apart. This R0 is the equilibrium bond length. And then there's another parameter A in this model that you have to figure out somehow. And a way to figure it out would be to look at the minimum of the potential. So a Morse potential looks like this. And you can fit the minimum to a parabola. And this parabola will set about what the vibrational energies are. So if you can look up for, say, oxygen, what the spacing between the vibrational energies are for there's a ground vibrational state, there's a first excited vibrational state, this will give h bar omega. I think I need to turn the light on. This energy is h bar omega. And you can convert that into an effective spring constant, because we know that for a parabola like this, the energy would be 1/2 kx squared, so I should really write here r minus r0 squared around the minimum. And knowing the shape of the parabola, you can figure out what this effective spring constant is. And if you know that and the reduced mass of, say, a diatomic molecule, you can calculate the vibration frequency. It's the square root of the effective spring constant divided by the reduced mass. So the idea would be to look at some molecule like oxygen, an oxygen molecule, O2, or nitrogen, and try to figure out, make a table of what this U0 is, what R0 is, what A is, what this effective spring constant is. And if you know that, also the vibrational frequencies, and also from this you can calculate the rotational moment of inertia, the Masser-Trogheit's moment, because if you know the equilibrium position, from that you can calculate what the rotational energy is. Just kind of collect this data for a few molecules. This effective spring constant is interesting because if you consider a crystal, so some macroscopic crystal, it's lots of little masses and springs connected together. And if you measure macroscopically what the elastic constants are, you can calculate back what that spring constant should be. So if we work out from a spectroscopy measurement what the spring constant should be, we could put a bunch of those little springs in parallel in series and figure out what the macroscopic elastic properties of that crystal should be. You can do a similar thing for the Leonard Jones. This is more suitable for a van der Waals bond. Say the bond between two helium atoms would be a van der Waals bond. And then calculate the parameters. In this case, there are only two parameters, this epsilon and sigma. So you only need two pieces of information, like the equilibrium position of the molecule and the depth of the disassociation. So it's a little bit easier there. But you can also calculate what, given those two parameters, what vibrational frequencies you expect and what rotational frequencies you expect out of it.